This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, it's a bit of a holiday special of sorts.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's right. We're discussing our favorite geeky holiday entertainment, so we're about to get started. Sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Sorry for no show last week. We all hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving for our U.S.-based listeners. For the rest of you, sorry we took a week off.
Oops. We were eating lots of food.
We were eating lots of food. And without further ado, Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Tosche-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And speaking of Doctor Who, they recently had the 50th anniversary special, and Her Universe came out with a bunch of new designs based on that special. So definitely check them out. And there's actually a Star Trek shirt that I really like, even though I know nothing about Star Trek.
Which one was that?
It's the City on the Edge of Forever shirt. It's just really pretty. And it's kind of like a weird art design. And of course, the Tardigan. The TARDIS cardigan. I'm waiting for my Star Wars cardigan.
Can't go wrong with the Tardigan.
No.
Yeah, I should not take a week off anymore because I just flub and fumble through all of the pre-written lines. Okay, before we screw up too much more, Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. Nancy, what have we been up to?
Well, Fixer's Flash, Brian, you skipped what's new on the blog. Emphasizing him messing everything up.
We are off to a flying start on this
show. Stop that. Rewind.
You know,
Isn't that from Willy Wonka? Scratch that.
Reverse it.
Yeah.
No, strike that. Reverse
it.
There we go. If we were another podcast, we'd painstakingly edit all of this out, but we are not another podcast.
So we're going to talk to you about what's new on the blog now.
We are going to talk to you about what's new on the blog.
Well, the Hondo Caravan is out in full force. Our lovely staff writer, Bria, has been going through season one of the Clone Wars, and in the first installment, we finally meet Hondo, the Watch Through's namesake, and also Zero strikes back in the next set of episodes, and Bria was alarmed that Zero indeed returned. We had a triple threat of comic reviews from Bria, including Darth Vader and the Ninth Assassin, Legacy number 9, and the Star Wars number 4. And rounding out the Bria show, she also reviewed Catching Fire. And we'll discuss it later, but we also saw Catching Fire, as did most of the people in the country. And
should we do a quick go, no go on Catching Fire?
Go.
Go.
Also, we hit 1138 followers on Twitter, so we're giving away a copy of Razor's Edge by Martha Wells, and all you have to do is comment on the blog post.
You have until midnight tonight of this recording.
Why did we do that? Why not do it tomorrow?
Should we extend it to tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to extend this till tomorrow.
you guys have
till Saturday, 11:59 p.m. Eastern.
Yes. So comment on the blog post and you can win a book. It's a hardcover book, the actual book, not the arc. So yay.
Hooray.
Emily and Bria, we're back with a new episode of our spinoff podcast, Women of Odd Enthusiasms. And in this month's episode, they were thankful for Thor. Actually, they were kind of thankful for everything Marvel. But
there's a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah.
So be sure to check out that podcast, our sister podcast, Women of Odd Enthusiasms. It's a fun show.
Yeah.
And if they spend a lot of time taking shots at me because I conned them into doing it. So yeah. If you enjoy stuff like that, go check it out.
Yes.
Okay, should we do Fixer's Flash now?
Yes!
Okay, Fixer's Flash. The things we've been up to, Nancy.
Well, I finished The Insanity. That is National Novel Writing Month. And I finished with 67,771 words for November. That's me sighing with relief.
I've never seen someone so nonplussed to have written 68,000 words because in a span of 30 days.
If you saw how many holes there were in the manuscript, and now I have a new outline that I revised based on everything that came out of writing a first draft, which isn't really much of a first draft, and saw all of the holes I need to fill, you'd also be daunted by all of that.
I repeat, you wrote 68,000 words.
Yeah, but I imagine like 1,000 of them are going to end up in the actual completed draft whenever it's finished.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I know. So now I have redone my outline and I am ready to edit, which will happen later this month and next month. The good thing about Brian's new job is that sometimes he works at night, and those months I get all the writing time in the world. I mean, it's very, very sad that he's not here, but I use that time to my advantage. Aren't you glad I could just be sitting at home doing nothing?
Yeah, yeah.
He's just laughing at me. So yes, NaNoWriMo, I finished. And also, if you did NaNoWriMo, dear listeners, please take the time to edit your work. Do not send it to a literary agent without editing it and having other people read it and then edit it again.
And don't send anything to them during the month of December.
Yeah. So as we mentioned before, we also saw Catching Fire. Yay!
Ah, it was so good.
It was really good. I liked it better than the first movie.
And we liked the first movie.
I did like the first movie, and I might have liked it better than the book. I don't know. I think of the movies as very differently from the books, because the books are told from Katniss's point of view, and that's all. And I like the fact that in the movie, you get to see outside of that. And you see a lot more of the Capitol and President Snow. And I really enjoyed it. And there was no shaky cam, thank God.
That's the real reason they killed Seneca Crane.
Aww.
Best cameo. Was it the Marriott or was it Seneca Crane's beard on that effigy?
I think I have to go with the Marriott.
That was great. If you're very quiet in the theater, you can hear everyone who's gone to Dragon Con.
Yes, because their training center is the Atlanta Marriott Marquis, which is one of the host hotels for Dragon Con. So if you have ever been to Dragon Con, you have probably been in that lobby or the atrium, whatever, and also I have never been to the 10th floor, but my friend said that's where they had their little conversations.
In future news, the 10th floor of the Marriott is a bigger
costume photography
trap than it has been.
How
in
many
past.
Joanna Mason photo shoots are going to take place in those elevators?
Not nearly enough.
Oh, and since NaNoWriMo is over, that means I get to read now, and I started reading an advanced reader copy of The Jupiter Pirates by Jason Fry, who was on the podcast a few months ago. He talked about the book back then. It's a kind of middle grade. I think it's more middle grade than young adult, kind of like in between, maybe a sci-fi adventure series set several hundred years in the future and about a family of space pirates. So I will be reading that and putting up a review on the blog in a few weeks. And that's what I'm doing.
So what's the quick pitch on that one? I mean, you've seen enough of it. If you were to hook a reader on this book.
The main character's name is Tycho.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, pretty much. If you're a Star Wars fan, that'll make you want to read it.
Now, this book, though, is about a spacefaring family.
Yeah, they're space pirates. Well, no, they're not pirates. I think they're privateers. They're the legit pirates. Like, it's very much based in, like, olden times with, like, you know, seafaring vessels and pirates and letters of marque and privateers and all that. And I think they're the legit ones. And so basically, it's the mother is the captain of the ship, and there's three siblings, and they all work on the ship, and they are all kind of vying to be the next captain. So it's kind of neat.
I can't wait to read this after you're done with that copy.
Okay. So that's what's been new with me. What's new with you?
Well, this segment's really tougher now that we
live in the same zip code.
Yeah.
Because we do the same things.
Exactly.
Except for reading.
I think the only thing you haven't mentioned yet is we went to the Candlelight Processional at Epcot
for our
theme park geeks in the audience.
Yes.
Gary Sinise was narrating, Lieutenant Dan, Ken Mattingly, if you'd prefer.
Or the narrator of Mission Space, which I don't go on.
Your Capcom in Mission Space.
I don't go on that ride, so I don't know.
It's only a big centrifuge that spins you around and around and around and around and around really fast.
Okay, I'll go on, and then I'll throw up on you.
Yeah, so the Candlelight Processional, narrated by Gary Sinise. A lot of fun. If you're ever in Epcot during the holiday season, go check it out. It's neat.
And we're going to go to Disney tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
For more Christmas fun.
For more holiday fun.
With that regular chat listener nut. And we're going to eat ice cream sandwiches for dinner. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we discovered this wonderful thing at Magic Kingdom. The two giant cookies.
With three scoops of ice cream in between them.
Yes.
It's as wonderful as it sounds.
Now, last time we split one, but we're going to get our own this time, aren't we? You
and know. It's perfect timing because the castle show, light up show, is at 6:15, so we can just go get ice cream.
Now, before you make fun of us for having ice cream in December, it's going to be 84 here in Orlando tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm glad I just bought new pants.
Yeah, so that's Fixer's Flash. Not a whole lot, but we have stuff coming up that you'll be looking forward to. Should we announce our Tashi Station special right now?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I can't believe they roped me into this bullshit.
So it's going to be our first Not Safe for Work episode of Tashi Station Radio. And it's going to be a special. We're only doing this as a one-off, but we will be doing a live commentary track with Allie
and Katie. From Wrong Opinions About Movies. We jumped on their podcast for Catching Fire.
Now they're jumping on ours.
Because basically we were trying to discuss things to do, and Brian mentioned that, and I said no, and they said, yes, we want to do it!
And what is this thing? We are live commenting.
The Star Wars Holiday Special. I've never seen it.
So I
wished that I could go through life without that.
But alas, it's come to this.
We're going to need a lot of alcohol to get through this.
Yeah. So we're going to MST3K this thing.
All I know is that B. Arthur is in it and there's Wookiee porn. And Mark Hamill's wearing eyeliner.
Next Saturday, you will be hearing me. You will be seeing me on Twitter sending a simple message out.
Help.
I've made a huge mistake.
It was your choice to watch Rollerball for the Wrong Opinions About Movie podcast. Just
yeah, we were on Wrong Opinions About Movies, discussing Catching Fire and Rollerball. I chose the movie Rollerball, and that was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. This might top it. But yes, keep an eye out. Next Saturday, we're going to live stream and then upload later our commentary track of Star Wars, the holiday special.
Yay.
God have mercy on our souls.
God, yeah.
And with that, we move into Deke's Dirt, news and rumors from around fandom. And did you catch Star Wars on Spike over the holiday weekend?
Yes, we did. We also caught some of Harry Potter on ABC Family.
It was a big weekend of fandom marathons. Star Wars over on Spike, Harry Potter on ABC Family. Although, is Star Wars on Spike really that notable of an event anymore?
No, but yet whenever it's on, everyone stops what they're doing and watches it.
And my entire Twitter feed was full of live commentary.
Yes, it devolved, as it usually does, into a Luke versus Han argument. I do not perpetuate these things. It's usually Savannah, who is Wolfpack fangirl on Twitter.
There are a lot of Han fans out there, though.
Everyone is a Han fan. Like, being a Luke fan is the weird thing, and that's fine with me.
You know, I don't know why I'd never noticed it until this watch run through on Spike, but man, Empire Strikes Back features a lot of gratuitous Harrison Ford rear end.
Well, the best Twitter exchange between you and I was when you said, "This movie has a lot of gratuitous Harrison Ford ass," and I replied, "Harrison Ford ass is never gratuitous."
I can't argue that.
So yes, those are on. You probably watched them, and
we had a little bit of discussion about the other marathon going on, the Harry Potter marathon.
Yes, this is where I'm going to rant about Deathly Hallows Part 2 and how terrible of a movie that is. If you have not read Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, A, what's wrong with you? Or if you have not seen the movie, B, what's wrong with you?
We're not even going to give you a spoiler alert because, come on, statute of limitations over on that one.
So I'm one of the rare people who actually really, really like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. I really liked it. I thought it did a really good job of adapting the movie or the book, and I just really liked the tone of it. There were some parts that were kind of awkward, but in general, I liked it. Then you get to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, which I was really looking forward to, as were most people, because it was going to basically be the whole entire Battle of Hogwarts. It was going to be the entire movie. And that's wonderful. Great. Except it sucked because they changed so many things that were important. The scene with Harry and Dumbledore at King's Cross was really, really short and didn't really explain anything that had happened about the Deathly Hallows and the Horcruxes and all of that. Coupled by when the Death Eaters all come back to the school and Neville has his whole last stand thing, but doesn't kill the snake. And then Harry, instead of dropping, you know, to the ground and putting the invisibility cloak on so no one can see him, and he just basically disappears, instead they're all like, "Oh, he's alive. It just took away from so many things. And basically I was so annoyed that Harry ended up telling Ron and Hermione that he was going to go out to the Forbidden Forest and give himself up to Voldemort. Because how in the world do they get through 7 movies together, doing everything together? They never let Harry go by himself at all. And all of a sudden they're going to let him go give himself up to Voldemort to die? No, they're not going to do that. In the book, he's under the invisibility cloak. No one can see him. And he realizes he has to tell someone about the snake being a Horcrux. Or else, you know, Voldemort will just come back. So who does he go to find and tell? Neville, because Neville is a trustworthy person. And he goes and tells him. And Harry and Ron have no idea. So, yeah.
And then there's all the ways they screwed up Neville in that movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole thing is that Neville basically takes a stand of Voldemort, says, no, you are not going to win, and just goes. They put the sorting hat on his head, and it's in flames. And he whips the sword out of the sorting hat because he is a worthy Gryffindor and slices the snake in half. Whereas in the movie, they have a whole big chase scene with the snake that doesn't make sense. And the whole fight with Harry and Voldemort doesn't make sense. And it just doesn't make... Oh, and then... But the part that pisses me off the most is that at the end of the movie, instead of using the Elder Wand to fix his broken wand, Harry just breaks the Elder Wand in half instead of burying it with Dumbledore, which was really, really terrible. It completely goes against everything in the book, and I just hated it.
The one thing that did work better than the book, though, was the ending.
Well, the epilogue is still really weird, and I really don't like that Harry says that Snape was one of the bravest people he knew because Snape was a jerk.
I do hope that somewhere in the afterlife, Lily Potter reamed Snape a new one.
But the whole epilogue thing is a lot less cheesy in the movie, basically because they use John Williams' music. So I have decided that John Williams' music can make anything better. And that is why Nancy really does not like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I watched it again because I wanted to give it another chance. And I will say that the scene at Gringotts is pretty good. It made me think the movie was going to be good, and then they just got to Hogwarts and it all fell to poo. And too much of Voldemort going, "Rah!"
He did that a lot in that movie.
Yeah.
But yes, that was the weekend that was in marathon
television. Sorry about the rant. Sorry about the mess.
Greg Wiseman sat down on the official site as well as Star Wars Insider and revealed that Rebels will feature two female leads.
What? You can't have two female leads.
What?
They may actually pass the Bechdel test.
Oh, that can't happen.
Right?
So, yes, they appear to have taken some good lessons from the Clone Wars.
Yes. I'm happy about this.
And that is the boys who watch your show will not stop watching it just because there are female characters.
No. Ahsoka Tano? Anyone?
So, yeah, I'm happy to hear that. You know, the more I hear about Rebels, the more I'm getting optimistic about it. There are some really good people working on it. I mean, when you got the guy responsible for Gargoyles and some other great ABC animated and Disney animated shows, I mean, it's a good reason to be hopeful.
Indeed. I would still like to know more about Rebels anytime soon.
Yeah.
And Episode 7 anytime soon.
I'm sorry. It still exists in this veil of Abrams secrecy.
Speaking of Abrams' secrecy, we don't have that on the show notes, but there was an interview with, what's-his-face, J.J. Abrams, where they asked him about, spoilers for Star Trek Into Darkness, if you still haven't seen it. Spoilers! Benedict Cumberbatch being Khan. And he was like, yeah, we probably shouldn't have kept that a secret. To which the collective internet goes, no crap.
Although I would say that was the least of Into Darkness's problems.
Yeah.
Oh, that film. We wanted to like you so much more than we did.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Honor Among Thieves gets a new cover featuring new character Scarlet Hark.
Yes. I liked it. I know a lot of people did not like it, but I thought it was pretty good.
I actually thought it was an improvement over the Razor's Edge cover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was good. Millennium Falcon's on the back of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of an obvious choice, but a good one. Yeah. So, looking forward to that one. James S.A. Corey, pretty respected science fiction writer, helming that novel. It should be a good kickoff for the 2014.
Right?
Wow. In other fandom news, is it Gal Gadot?
I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll be playing Wonder Woman in Batman versus Superman.
I don't know how to feel about this.
I think that's the reaction a lot of people had.
Because on the one hand, yay! Wonder Woman! On the other hand, in Batman versus Superman, directed by Zack Snyder, that'll go well. On the other hand, Black Widow did make her first appearance as a secondary character in Iron Man 2 and then joined the Avengers.
Of course, we're still waiting for a Black Widow film.
Well, she's in Winter Soldier, so hopefully, I think she's probably like the second headliner after Cap. So maybe we're getting there. But yeah, it would have been nice to have Wonder Woman be more of a standout role, but maybe we can hope that this is leading to something. Maybe we can also hope that Zack Snyder won't F it up.
Yeah, so someone in the
chat... Maybe we can also hope that we win the lotto? Yeah.
As someone in the chat says, "Dear Mr. Snyder, don't frack this up."
Yes, please.
It's taken this long to get Wonder Woman onto the screen.
Yeah.
Please don't mess up.
Can we also say that if your first instinct for Wonder Woman is what Gal Gadot looks like, please don't. Just stop.
I've got a gesture for you that you can't see right now.
Because as people pointed out, Henry Cavill was not very buff before they cast him as Superman. And Hugh Jackman is not very buff, like, just normally. But he works out a ton to get in shape to play Wolverine. So even if Gal Gadot is not necessarily very muscular appearing, she could work out. And I've read that she was in the Israeli army, so I think she's tough enough to be Wonder Woman. It's about acting. I mean, Linda Carter wasn't like... I never looked at Linda Carter and went, oh my god, she's buff and awesome. But everyone seemed to love her as Wonder Woman, so... Yeah. Stop it, people.
Yeah.
Also, Christian Bale was like a twig when they cast him as Batman. Yeah, I mean...
So, yeah. Leave it up to the writing and the acting.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't... Is it, like, mentioned anywhere that Wonder Woman has to be, like, super gorgeous? No.
Depends on who you ask. Unfortunately. In other superhero-related movie news, the trailer for The Amazing Spider-Man 2 dropped. And wow, that was a lot going on in that trailer.
I haven't watched it. Because I never watched the first movie. So.
Did you see the Reiner Spider-Man movies?
The Raimi Spider-Man?
The Raimi.
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked the first one, and I really liked the second one, and I
then the third one happened, and what happened in that movie?
Emo Spider-Man.
Oh, Spidey, no.
I
will say Andrew Garfield is 10 times the Peter Parker.
Really?
Yeah. I think you'd like the first one.
I'll probably end up seeing it. I just never was really that huge into Spider-Man. And I didn't get dragged out to the movies much this summer. I would imagine now that you're living here, I'll probably go see movies more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although we still haven't gone to see Frozen.
True.
I'm debating if we should wait until we go on a Disney cruise to go see it.
Yeah, Frozen. There's a lot of good buzz around that movie.
Yeah, which kind of... We didn't put this in the show notes either, but The marketing shows nothing about what Frozen is about, which kind of reminds me of Brave, which I didn't know what it was about at all until I read a plot synopsis. And incidentally, I still haven't seen Brave, which I need to do. But like, if you looked at the marketing for Frozen, all you would really think is that there's a snowman and a reindeer and they goof off. Like, and apparently it's about these two sisters. Like, yeah, it's really baffling why they don't show the more in-depth parts of the movie. Like, I remember the trailers for Lion King, and they didn't really focus on Timon and Pumbaa or, like, Zazu. I'm sure they did, but the first trailer I remember seeing for Lion King started with Circle of Life and was just basically that. That was a trailer for Lion King.
You know what? You've already got the kid audience.
Yeah.
So show something more contextual in the trailer to get the adult audience.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like Cars where the trailer is obvious. This film is designed to sell toys.
Yeah.
Give us a little more with Frozen.
Yeah.
But all the buzz makes it sound like this is Disney's finest since The Lion King.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I would... I have a hard time believing that, but... I definitely want to see it.
Well, considering it's been a little bit of a drought since The Lion King, I'd be willing to buy it.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of the newer Disney movies I haven't seen that I need to see.
You've seen Lilo and Stitch, right?
I did see Lilo and Stitch, yes.
This episode of Toshi Station Radio has been brought to you by the Disney Animation Studios.
I have a bit, like, after Lion King, I pretty much really saw no Disney movies.
Well, it was Hunchback after that, so no, you didn't miss much.
Pocahontas after that.
Oh, Dances with Wolves, I mean Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't seen Tangled, I haven't seen Brave.
Have you seen Mulan?
Nope.
Oh, the chat's about to blow up right now, Nancy. I haven't
seen, the only Disney movie I've seen since Lion King is Lilo and Stitch, I think.
Oh, dear. If Bria were here in the chat right now, she would be calling Skype right now to berate us.
I am very sorry. I'm a lot older than Bria.
Well, we're going to have to sit down and watch Mulan then.
Yeah.
Clearly.
We went on a tangent again.
Should we go back to the show notes now?
Yes.
Star Wars has joined Instagram.
Yay! I don't know what this means in the larger scheme of things other than another social network to follow.
I guess that means I got to get an Instagram.
Or you can just follow them on Twitter because they post everything.
I guess. I don't get the Instagrams.
I mean, I get it, but like usually everyone posts things to Twitter as well as Instagram, so I don't see the need to get an Instagram.
I suppose I can give you that. And some news out today. Disney and Paramount has reached an Indiana Jones agreement.
Ooh.
And let me pull up the link now.
I didn't really say had to come up with an agreement. Can they come up with an agreement with 20th Century Fox that they can still use the Fox fanfare at the beginning of the movies?
I don't think that one's going to work, unfortunately.
Damn it.
Sorry. Yeah, no Fox fanfare, but... Per Variety, Disney and Paramount have reached an agreement involving the Indiana Jones franchise. Under this agreement, Disney gains distribution and marketing rights to future films in addition to retaining its current ownership rights, which it secured when it acquired Lucasfilm. Paramount will continue to be responsible for distribution of the first four films in the franchise and will receive a financial participation on any future films that are produced and released. Now, this is not a guarantee of new Indiana Jones films, but I think it says that Disney is at least considering it. You seem very enthused by this, Nancy.
Well, we all saw the last Indiana Jones
still
movie.
Better than Temple of Doom.
I have to disagree with you on that one.
Temple of Doom was horrid.
No, it was better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Got to disagree with you there.
No.
No, Temple of Doom is one that...
Chat room, who's right? Nancy or Brian? Hey, all two of you.
That's not fair, going to the chat room to gang up against me.
I just want to know who's right.
Temple of Doom was awful and offensive. There we go.
When
was the last time you saw it?
I don't know.
You might change your mind when you see the vaguely racist... Well, not vaguely. The
vaguely
racist elements of the film.
That's true, but I short rounds in it, and he's better than Shia LaBeouf, so...
Yeah, I'll give him the edge. Just barely.
Yeah.
But yes, maybe new Indiana Jones films on the horizon. Who knows? Only time will tell. And we've got Disney Park rumors.
Yay! Can we talk about these?
Well, yes, because we have it marked in the notes that we should talk about them.
Yeah, he's like, I think people just need to stop spreading rumors about things that they don't know anything about. Because they're talking about how the plans for Disneyland, Star Wars and Disneyland, have been postponed, and the plans for Magic Kingdom have been put aside completely. Then there was another report saying that was false. So basically, no one knows what they're talking about. It's kind of like the Episode 7 rumors. There are insiders, and I'm saying that with air quotes, who are going to spread rumors that everyone latches onto, and then they're not right about anything. So I really just would like rumors to stop flying around. But I know that's not going to happen.
Apply that to any franchise. Yes, keep your rumors in check.
Yeah.
Take everything with a grain of salt.
But basically, we'd have no idea what's going to happen with Star Wars at Disney Parks. But I would be very, very surprised if nothing Disney comes to the Orlando parks. Or nothing Star Wars comes to the Disney.
Because out here, Disney needs an answer to Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, well, you know, Harry Potter is expanding again. It's pretty much drawing people away from Disney. Maybe not for their entire vacation, but they're going to Universal for a day, or now maybe 2 days, now that it's opening at two parks. I don't think Universal will ever be a competitor for Disney, just because Disney is Disney.
But it's taking people out of the parks for a couple days during their vacations. And
yeah,
the ticket sales to get into the park are inconsequential. They want you in the park to spend additional money.
Yeah. So spending all the money they did for Star Wars, I think it would be very short-sighted for them not to do anything with it. I could see them waiting until Episode 7 comes out, so they can tie it in, whatever they do, into Episode 7.
And that's what the second rumor from TFN said.
Which makes sense.
Nothing's canceled or on hold. They're just waiting for the Episode 7 script to properly integrate their very, very expensive purchase into the parks.
I agree.
So, yeah, that's our rant on rumors today.
Mara agrees with us.
Yes, Mara, our show mascot, has awoken from her slumber. And with that, we go into Cammy's Concerns, our favorite holiday entertainment. Our favorite geeky holiday entertainment, to be specific.
Yes. You go.
I go, okay. Our qualifications, part of the entertainment must involve or take place around the holidays.
I wanted to add in the qualification that Christmas needed to be a thematic element, but that would have taken away Brian's favorite Christmas movie, so I didn't do that, because I'm a nice person.
Fine. So our favorite film, obviously we're talking about this because it's been dry in Star Wars news lately.
And it's Christmas time?
Yes, it is.
So my favorite Christmas movie is the actual best Christmas movie.
Disagree.
And it is called Love Actually.
Second best movie.
No, best Christmas movie. Because in this movie, Professors Snape and Trelawney are married. And Qui-Gon Jinn is a single dad. Yep.
And Watson is a porn actor stand-in.
Watson slash Bilbo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Watson in the BBC Sherlock, that would be. Who else is in this movie? Bill Nighy, who was the Minister of Magic in Deathly Hallows. What was his name? What was his name? Someone in the chat, help me. What was his name in Harry Potter? Scrimgeour? Scrimgeour? Was it Scrimgeour?
We'll run with that.
Okay. So.
Fudge.
No, he wasn't Fudge. Fudge. Fudge was the other guy. He wasn't Cornelius Fudge.
So Love Actually makes our list because it's a collection of your favorite actors from your favorite geeky movies.
Yes. No, I like this story. It has a, they're kind of standalone stories, but they kind of all interconnect in that the people know each other. And some of them are funny, like the Bill Nighy parts. Some of them are pretty sad, like the Emma Thompson and, what's his name? Brian. Alan Rickman. Thank you.
I could only think Snape.
So it's definitely got something for everyone. And it's just, there's parts of it that just make you smile, and then there's parts of it that make you cry. And it just gets me in the spirit for Christmas.
We need to watch it soon, don't we?
We do.
Speaking of getting in the mood for Christmas, you can't talk Christmas films without the greatest bit of Americana. Christmas.
A Christmas Story.
Correct.
Yes. If you have not seen Love Actually, it is streaming on various services, including Netflix. If you have not seen A Christmas Story, wait until Christmas Eve because they play it for 24 hours straight. So I would imagine that most of you have seen A Christmas Story. And I remember seeing A Christmas Story before they started playing it 24 hours straight. And was amused by it. And the kid's name is Schwartz, so that makes me laugh.
You'll shoot your eye out. You'll shoot your eye out.
Eminently quotable film.
Yeah. It's very much an American thing, though.
Yeah, it does not translate overseas.
No.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, it's... My dad loves this movie because growing up in small town Alaska...
Oh, God.
Just the small town vibe of A Christmas Story just tickles his fancy. Loves it.
I'm always amused by the fact that they put up their tree on Christmas Eve. And it's like, no, you do that like way earlier now. But so A Christmas Story, we like it. It's usually on at Christmas, so you can watch it. Also usually shown on various channels around Christmas time is probably, in my opinion, the funniest Christmas movie ever, which is Christmas Vacation.
Speaking of eminently quotable movies.
Yeah. Christmas Vacation makes me laugh so hard. Even if it's not Christmas, I'll watch this movie and it just cracks me up.
Joy to the world.
Oh no, are you going to do that?
No, I'm not going to do the rant.
No, the... When we decorate the house, are you going to have a whole drum roll?
Drum roll. Drum roll.
My favorite part is when Rusty brings out the light, or when he brings out the lights and he plops them on Rusty and it's all a big ball.
Oh, I love that. The last place I worked, we used to play Christmas Vacation over the speaker PAs on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And for some reason, none of the executives got why Clark's rant was hilarious.
Yeah. My friend in sixth grade taught me that rant.
Which we will not repeat on the show right now.
At lunch. It took, like, I don't know how long. but I learned it and I still have it memorized by heart. There's just so many funny things in that movie. There's the squirrel chase. There's the dog snots.
I mean, that movie just speaks to having a big family at the holidays. If you've got a big family, you identify with this film on a spiritual level.
Yeah, and Cousin Eddie.
Oh, my family's got a Cousin Eddie.
I think everyone has a Cousin Eddie. But yeah, and if you haven't seen that movie in a while, you might be surprised to know that Johnny Galecki of Big Bang Theory fame plays Rusty, Clark's son.
They do not look the same.
What? Oh, the character? The actors?
I mean, if you squint, you can see how that kid turned into him, but it's hard to see.
Yep. And
I see you also listened to the morning stream this week.
What?
Oh, they were talking. About that.
Oh, well, I mean, I knew that anyway.
Oh, okay.
Because he was on Roseanne, too. And who else is in it? Oh, no. I don't think. Oh. Juliette Lewis, who is had a lot of movies in the 90s, is in it as well. But yeah, it's really funny. We need to watch that, too.
Yes, we do.
Oh, and Aunt Bethany. Because we had an Aunt Bethany in my family. Grace!
Every family's got an Aunt Bethany.
Yes. And this is where we diverge paths and argue. Because of your next pick.
Because of my next pick. Well, were we skipping your pick?
Oh, we have... Sorry. I have one more movie. While You Were Sleeping, which is a Sandra Bullock movie with Bill Pullman, Lone Star. And
Lone Star.
President from ID4. It's kind of a silly movie, but it's cute, and I loved it when I saw it in the movies for the first time, and I can relate to it because the large Catholic family, and there's just a lot of inside jokes with that movie, and makes it feel like Christmas. So that isn't streaming anywhere though, and it makes me sad.
Now my pick though is the greatest holiday film ever.
It's not a holiday film.
Yes, it is.
It's a film that happens at Christmas. It's not a Christmas movie.
Die Hard is a film that talks about the lengths you will go to for your family at the holidays.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. It's the best Christmas film ever. Die Hard.
So I shouldn't tell you that I've never seen Die Hard?
Audience, I need you all to keep tabs of movies we need to make Nancy watch.
What?
But yes, Die Hard, my pick for the best Christmas film ever. But there are some other favorites I've got. The Muppet Christmas Carol, I love to pieces. I need to get it on DVD. It's been a couple years since I've seen it last, but one of my favorite adaptations of that classic story. Mm-hmm. And additionally, purely for nostalgic reasons, Disney's animated Christmas Carol adaptation with Uncle Scrooge in the lead role.
Of course, Scrooge McDuck.
Exactly. But, you know, it's both are great, very enjoyable adaptations of A Christmas Carol in their own right. If you can find it, go watch it. Now, we've got some honorable mentions that were suggested to us.
Another very festive holiday film is Gremlins.
Gremlins. Who suggested that?
Me!
You suggested that?
Yes!
Okay.
It's a Christmas movie. He gets the little Mogwai as a Christmas present.
Aw.
Takes place at Christmas. Gizmo's so cute.
Aw.
I love Gizmo. Also, Bad Santa.
I can't believe that's on our list.
I don't know if you've seen this movie.
I have.
Okay. The reason why I love Bad Santa is because my mom was the one who wanted to go see this movie.
Your mother.
Yes. She really wanted to see this movie.
Your mom.
So we went to the movies, and she went to the counter and said, 2 for Bad Santa, please. And the guy was like, oh, I don't know if you like this movie. It's kind of offensive. And my mom's like, oh, I know. She loved it. She laughed her ass off the entire movie.
I can't believe Linda liked Bad Santa.
She loved Bad Santa.
The more you
know. She loved the little kid in it.
And of course, we can't talk about Christmas movies without bringing up a true classic. Elf.
Santa! Oh my god, I know him.
Will Ferrell's childlike enthusiasm is just delightful.
I want to know how much caffeine he had to drink before every take. Probably not.
I think they
were
injecting it intravenously.
Well, I mean, it's Will Ferrell, so I think that's just how he is.
It might be scary to see Will Ferrell on caffeine. And, of course, the Polar Express.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love this movie, but it's nice to have on in the background, and it's, you know,
I like listening to it. Yeah. I can't watch it because of the uncanny valley.
Yeah,
it's unsettling to look at.
Yeah, this is, my aunt loves this movie, and she always goes, "Tickets, please." And she always does the clipping that he does with the thing the conductor does,
and then I get confused with Last Crusade and quote, "No ticket."
No, wrong movie.
Wrong movie.
Yes.
Of course, it's not the holidays unless we talk about Christmas specials, television specials.
And if you're talking about Christmas television specials, there is only one.
Well, there are others, but this one's our favorite.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is still very progressive to this day. My favorite part, I was watching it the other day, last week it was on, was when basically the dad told the mom and Clarice that going out to look for Rudolph was man's work, and then he left. And then they promptly said, F that, and followed him out. But yes, it always makes me sad because they're so mean to Rudolph. And why do they have to be so mean to Rudolph? And then at the end, instead of telling Santa to shove it, he does the right thing and helps give Christmas to everyone.
Aww.
And he also helps the misfit toys.
I will always sit down and watch Rudolph if it's on.
Yep.
I love it. Another one, A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Because who doesn't like A Charlie Brown Christmas?
I will sit down and watch it for no other reason than Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah.
Perfect music for the holidays.
Christmas time! Is here.
Might be my favorite Christmas song, actually.
Happiness and cheer.
Oh, we need to watch that soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's a good one. One I like, I think, a little more than you, Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, because I hate this one. Because the entire show is just that song. Like, I watched it with my mom a few years ago because my mom loves snowmen and loves Frosty. And so we sat down and we watched it. And it was basically just that song, and then, like, maybe 2 minutes of dialogue, and then, again, the song.
Admittedly, I have not seen it in 15 years, so it might be, the nostalgia might be talking a little bit.
Although, it does have one of the best lines. Happy birthday!
Are there any other TV specials we're missing?
Probably, but I can't think
of any.
There's
a whole
any.
Host of those claymation
shows. Yeah, those are... It's kind of hard to top Rudolph and Charlie Brown Christmas.
It is.
They always try to, like, add new ones, but those are the best.
Yeah. Of course, many of our favorite shows had wonderful Christmas episodes.
You like my first one, don't you?
This show just had great special episodes.
My first one is Full House. Because I saw this episode so many times. This is the Christmas episode in which they got stuck in the airport at Christmas time. And I don't know why I like it so much, but I just do. And Stephanie made a map for Santa. And yeah, I like it.
And for me, Community's Christmas special, in which they did an entire 30-minute episode as a claymation inside Abed's head. It was perfect. It was why Dan Harmon is brilliant and why I am so glad they brought him back for this upcoming season.
Okay.
Oh, good one from the chat. The Batman animated series Christmas with the Joker.
Ooh.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one, but that was a very good episode.
And the chat also suggested for a Christmas special, the Apollo 8 TV special.
Oh, the one where they read from Genesis.
Yeah, so during the Apollo program, they had live broadcasts on TV, and Apollo 8 flew to the moon at Christmas time, and they read from Genesis, and I'm sure all of you have seen this clip because it's extremely famous, and that's also when the famous Earthrise picture was taken.
Maybe the greatest photograph ever.
Yeah, that the Genesis reading always gets me misty-eyed.
And now I want to watch either From the Earth to the Moon.
I knew you were going to say From the Earth to the Moon.
Audience, if you have not picked up either one of those, do so. Simpsons had one of the most iconic Christmas episodes. Simpsons roasting on an open fire, which was, incidentally, the first full-length Simpsons episode.
Really?
Yes. Huh. It is the episode in which the family gets Santa's little helper, family dog. Homer doesn't get...
I do remember Santa's little helper. Aww. He was a racetrack doggy, mm-hmm. Right?
He was a racetrack dog. Homer can't afford... Homer doesn't get the Christmas bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Bart gets a tattoo that has to be removed via laser, so they are now broke. And Homer gets a job as a mall Santa, doesn't make enough money, and goes to the racetrack and bets it all on Santa's little helper, who comes in dead last. And the racetrack boots the dog, and they bring Santa's little helper home to make it a true Christmas for the Simpson family.
Aww.
It regularly makes the top 10 list of best Simpsons episodes ever. It's a quintessential Christmas special episode.
Mm-hmm.
And another pick I've got, MASH, the episode Death Takes a Holiday. Very poignant and bittersweet episode. The memory I've got from that one was Winchester finally being a decent human being. So if you've ever seen that episode, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Can we talk about how much of a crime it is that MASH is not instantly streaming anywhere?
Because then you can't make me watch it.
But it's such a good show!
I never said it wasn't!
I've been wanting to rewatch MASH for ages, but I can't get it anywhere. Come on, help me out, studios. And I've got one last pick. And this is a pure nostalgia pick. The episode of Tiny Toon Adventures, the Christmas special. And I only remember this because I've got one memory that sticks out in my mind, and that's Maurice LaMarche doing a William Shatner impression of William Shatner doing a spoken word reading of Little Drummer Boy. And it's years later I know that that's just making fun of how he did Rocket Man as a spoken word reading.
Rocket Man.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
No.
You've got a couple random picks for geeky holiday favorite things. One is for the ballet geek in your life.
The Nutcracker. Because the Nutcracker.
I grew up watching the Pacific Northwest Ballet's production of the Nutcracker, and I love that show. It's such a great production.
I saw the Nutcracker at the Met.
Someday I will see the Nutcracker at the Met.
I would also like to suggest the Yule Log.
The holiday Yule Log.
For the couch potato geek. Because if there's nothing on TV on Christmas Day, and there usually isn't, and you want something on in the background that is not a Christmas story, you can listen to the Yule Log.
And for the jazz geek in your life, the Ellington Nutcracker Suite, in which the classic Tchaikovsky score has been reimagined and rewritten for a big band ensemble. And Nancy, you're shaking your head at me.
Why would someone do that?
You'd like it. It's a lot like Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's good.
It's great. You'd love it. I'll have to play you a sample later.
Okay.
And that's kind of our picks for geeky, tangentially geeky, holiday entertainment choices. Tis the season. Sit down on your couch, listen to our recommendations, and have a happy holidays from all of us here at Toshi Station.
All I want for Christmas is you. And some Star Wars news, please.
Happy Life Day. Happy Life Day.
I can't believe you're making me watch that.
It'll be fun.
I'm going to need therapy after that.
I think everyone that's seen that needs therapy. So, yes, as a reminder, next Saturday we will be streaming our live commentary of the Star Wars.
Wait, we're live streaming this?
Yes.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, I hate you.
Aw. Yes, we'll be live streaming our commentary of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Look for it as a special in the iTunes feed later. And send us your positive thoughts and prayers because we will need them.
It's your fault.
My fault? It's not my fault.
Yes, it is your fault.
Oh, wait, I suggested this one.
I'm not doing a drinking game for this.
No, no drinking game. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies. On their most recent episode, they reviewed Nebraska and Tokyo Story.
Yes, and the previous episode is the one Brian and I guested on, which we discussed Catching Fire and Rollerball. One of those films we liked and one of them we hated.
Take a guess. If you want the quick summary on Rollerball, it is every terrible science fiction trope rolled into one movie over the course of two miserable, painstaking, awful hours.
Yes.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this episode. This episode of Toshi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blog. Keep the lights on. We do appreciate it. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Toshi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're at the Toshi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Toshi-Station.net, the official blog of the show. Thank you for catching another episode with us, and we will see you next week.
Happy holidays!
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Toshi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.